You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 159 for March 11th, 2015.
Welcome back to the podcast where we talk about running each and every week. What do we have today? Kind of just a little bit of a catch up, what's going on with us, a little bit rundown on the news, and then we're going to kind of go through some must-do 5Ks, apparently.
Apparently.
So we'll see if...
I guess we'll have to add some to our list.
I think so. We actually don't spend much time talking about 5Ks, but that's probably because we don't spend much time running 5Ks.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to the last 5K I did, and I really can't remember.
I'm trying to think back too, and I know I did one last year, but I can't think of what it was. I'm pretty sure I did one last year.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Rock and Roll San Jose.
That was a 5K?
We did a 5K and then a 10K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
But I almost forgot about that completely. I knew we had done something last year.
So we apparently have short-term memories.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's start off with catching up with us. What's going on with you this past week?
So this past week was week 10 of my training plan for Boston to Big Sur. Had a couple days on the bike. One day of strength training. So just one day. Wah, wah, wah.
It's better than none.
Better than none.
That's right.
5 days of running with about 43 miles of running overall. Which included a long run of 19.15 miles, because that's when I was almost back to the car. So that's what it ended up being. I was aiming for 19 to 20 miles. I felt really good on the first half of that run, like really good. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I went a little too fast because I felt really good. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I had been tired from a couple days prior. And then I had lost an hour because of daylight savings. So... you know, my body was thinking it was an hour earlier, but I felt surprisingly well the first half and then the second half. What do you say? The wheels came off? Is that what you say?
Sometimes I say
okay.
That.
So, I mean, they didn't completely come off, but they definitely slowed down. So it just kept slowing and slowing. And I don't know why, actually. I don't know. I don't really have a reason.
Well, you had a busy week.
Yeah, that's true. My overall pace was still pretty good. But I wish I would have felt better on that second half. But I'm thrilled, though, that I got a 19-mile long run in. Mm-hmm. So that was good. And then, yeah, speaking of had a busy week, I did travel to Utah for Ragnar Trail event and did some trail running. And actually, the day that I flew out actually was like an extra day off, kind of the way it worked out for my days off from work. So I did a trail run that day before I flew out on the Ohlone Wilderness Trail, preparing for Ohlone 50K. So felt okay then, wasn't an easy run, but I felt okay. And then flew out to Utah and then the next day did a group trail run out there at, 5,000 feet, I guess, which may not sound like much to some people, but it's 5,000 more feet than what I'm used to running at. And it was muddy and, kind of some snow covered trail. It ended up being like, I think a little over 5 miles, but it was kind of slow going because the first half was, climbing and then descending, but it was pretty, pretty muddy or then running through snow. First time I've actually officially ran in snow, even though it wasn't deep snow by any means. Mm-hmm. But that was interesting. So that was fun. So yeah, I guess it was kind of a busy couple days leading up to my long run. It was nice running in cooler weather compared to what we've had out here. So, actually had like capris and a long sleeve running shirt. Didn't need a jacket or anything like that. But I was like, I haven't really run in, long sleeve in I don't know how long. It's been a while. So it was kind of, a nice change of scenery and a nice change of weather. So,
yeah, I mean, I saw some of your pictures. Definitely looked like a cool place to be out there running. I mean, it looked like fun. So,
yeah, I think it had snowed the day before. Mm-hmm. So there was some fresh snow, but thankfully didn't snow while I was there or rain while I was there. So it was, I guess, the best weather I could have asked for while being there. So along with that, or not along with that, you had mentioned that Race Ready's had like come back.
Yeah, they had disappeared just came back at the beginning of this year.
Right.
They still never replied to my email, by the way, when I kind of asked what happened. But
they basically had come back with kind of a limited array of options.
Yeah.
And which didn't include the capris or the shorts that I run in. But now, or I guess like the last week and a half, I think, they made the announcement that they actually had expanded what they were offering to include what they call the compression, shorts and, capris. So I ordered some, so I'm so excited and, they should be arriving soon. So
So you got to restock.
Yeah, I got to restock. I only ordered one of each, and then I was like, maybe I should have ordered more. Like, why shouldn't I? Or maybe I should have ordered two. I don't know. So, but I mean, I don't really need them right now. The ones that I have are fine. But I don't know. This could be my only chance to order them again. So I want to have backups. And you know how it is when you find something that really works for you. You know, you do your best to try to have that stocked or, you know, have a backup.
No, I think when you need it. I think as runners, that's pretty a common theme. You know, you find that pair of shoes that you love, and when they get to the end of their lifespan in terms of the company selling them, you know, you'll buy two pairs and throw them in the closet. Because
you know they work for you and you have them there.
Or your favorite running shorts or something like that. So it's not the worst or the craziest idea.
Yeah. Especially if you know that they could be going away. Not that they've said that, but they've already gone away before. So I'm worried about that. And then my activity streak of at least 30 minutes of activity every day, I've continued it. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Continuing.
Almost halfway through March and still going strong. So we'll see.
Cool.
Hopefully it continues again till the end of the year. So that was my week. How was your week?
My week. I'm going to call it, I guess, another good week. Although my long run wasn't really that good. But let me start with the week. So week was good. I'm happy with the mileage. Actually, super happy with kind of my midweek stuff with pace. My schedule actually took me kind of to a different place to run, or a place I'm very familiar with. But I was actually near San Leandro, California, for people that are local that know. So I was down there and I went to run down by the marina along the trail there, which runs along the bay, and it was right before sunset, so it was actually perfect weather and a very beautiful day. And
I saw one of the pictures you took, I think, as the sun was going down. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice.
Yeah,
nice
so
picture, nice view.
Really enjoyed it. Nice runs. It's actually the same location, for those that know, the Bay Breeze or Summer Breeze from Brazen. Same course. I was basically down there running on the course, and it was super nice. I got to run there 2 days back to back, which I'm not a big back to back guy, but those were my runs. So really enjoyed those. Came to the weekend and I scheduled for myself a 16-mile run. Felt really good at the start. Unfortunately, my stomach gave me some problems, and I'm typically
been there.
I'm typically not a person that has stomach issues running. I'm very lucky, you know, it's every once in a while, but I think for some people, you know, that's a struggle, and for me it's not. But on this particular day, my stomach was not a happy camper. So I think I got 8 miles run before I basically could not run no more, and I had to just basically walk. I think I ended up walking, must have been 3 or 3.5 miles. Just couldn't run. Stomach not happy. I think at the end I ended up running one more mile and basically called it a day at about 12.5, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely did not reach my goal of 16, you know, cutting it at 12.5. And actually felt better at the end of it, but at that point in time, I was drinking less water and I hadn't taken any more gels once my stomach started bothering me. And, you know, just from walking 3 miles, I was already out there basically as long as I had planned almost to be out there
to begin
with. So
for the entire run.
Yeah. So I was just mentally done and physically done and didn't feel fantastic. So I was definitely disappointed with that long run, but I'm still going to call it a good week. I'll have other chances to run long and it's, you know, only short it by a couple miles. I'm glad I was actually able to get in 12.5 and it wasn't, you know, an issue that kind of cut my run short at 3 or 4 or 6 or something like that. So, that was my week. Daylight savings time. I hate the change.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love daylight savings during the summer, you know, longer days and stuff, but this change, immediately just kind of kicks my butt. And I definitely end up being extremely tired for a couple days. I just don't react very well to the change anymore. Mm-hmm. Used to not be a problem years ago, but it seems like every year it's getting harder, or that just could be, you know, that short-term memory thing.
Right.
It seems hard right now.
It was just as difficult last year as it was this year.
I'll go back and listen to the same episode from last year, you know, around the same time.
I'll probably say the
exact same thing. But yeah, I think that was it. I mean, this was actually, for me, I think, concluded week 6 of 15 to getting to the Eugene Marathon, which is kind of, you know, the thing I'm working towards at this point, but I'm still pretty happy with the overall feeling on how the training's going. So
That's good.
Big complaints, and I'll have to just get my revenge on a 16-mile run.
There you go.
Very soon. I mean, this coming weekend, we're actually back to racing. So we have Badger Cove, which is a trail half marathon. That's our next race this coming weekend. So
with a different course than before. So that'll be interesting because I've actually run that race twice, but it was the same course those two times, and they've had to make some changes. for this year. So mm-hmm. it'll be a different course. It'll be interesting to see something different.
Yeah, I've done the 5K there before. Never done mm-hmm. the half. So I guess in that regard, it doesn't make a difference to me. It's yeah. all new to me the first time, but going to be a little bit warm probably, but we'll see how probably. That weather shapes up. So let's move on to kind of some news. What's going on? Races from this past weekend, Way Too Cool 50K, San Diego Half Marathon, and Trans Gran Canaria.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Way Too Cool, which you were actually at the last 2 years previously. You didn't do it this year.
Nope.
Any regrets?
No.
Did you feel like you were missing out? Any FOMO?
A little bit, but not too bad. I mean, I didn't do it, not because, you know, I was forced to not do it or because I didn't get in. You know, I made a conscious decision to not do it and to do something different later in the year. So yeah. Felt okay about it.
Yeah. And there were definitely some people we know that were out there.
Yeah.
Men's winner, Patrick Smith, 3:04:48. On the women's side, Megan Roche, 3:41:56. Both of those brand new course records.
Mm-hmm.
So some screaming fast times out there. Not surprising, but still crazy awesome to throw down those times. So.
I know. Yeah, for 50K.
Yeah. Let's talk about another ultra runner. Michael Wardian set a new record this past week. 50K treadmill record, which that in and of itself is not surprising because Michael Wardian is definitely an awesome runner and he definitely does some crazy different things.
Different challenges and different...
Yeah.
Yeah. And he races often and that's just kind of his MO.
Yeah, if anything, I think his greatest quality is perhaps his recovery because he is the type of person that can do back-to-back races. Or what did he do, that R&R thing where he did one race in the morning and then he went
Then he flew and did like
Vegas in the evening. And ran very good times at both of them. So what he did, he was actually on a cruise trip and it was actually aboard a cruise ship on a treadmill, 50K record. The interesting part was his first attempt to run the record. I don't remember what his time was. He ran it. Thought he had the record, and then as social media kind of rolled around, turns out somebody else had actually run a faster time
mm-hmm.
in the past by, I think, 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, at the most, it was 2 minutes.
Like that. So, I mean, it's kind of weird with these records. It's not like there's one website where you can go to and double-check every single oddball record you can find. So, he found out about that, missed it by 2 minutes, and because he's crazy and he recovers really well, he basically came back 30 hours later and ran another 50K on a treadmill, and this time beat the record by around 2 minutes or so. So kind of crazy to, one, decide to do this record attempt,
mm-hmm.
and then two, after you find out that you didn't actually break the record, you decide, well, I'm just going to, you know, let me get a little sleep, let me eat a little bit, and then I'll be back. Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow, and mm-hmm. I'll just bang out another 50K.
Right.
No problem. So definitely a crazy, to me, this is completely insane. But big props to him and congratulations to him for setting that record.
Could you imagine running a 50K on a treadmill?
Well,
just that alone?
That's a whole nother topic. Yeah. But yeah, if I was running a 50K on a treadmill on a cruise ship, at some point I would probably just go so crazy I would jump off the cruise ship.
Yeah.
And running on it, if you've never run on a cruise ship on a treadmill, it's very odd.
It is.
Sensation, because it just feels weird in terms of a sensation. But then, you know, the boat, you know, even these big cruise ships, you do move, and so you're kind of on the treadmill,
but you're still kind of shifting.
Yeah, you're kind of shifting on the treadmill, and
not good if you have motion sickness. Just as a heads up,
and it seems a little weird depending on which way the treadmill is actually facing with the ship, mm-hmm. or kind of perpendicular to it. That feels a little different too. Mm-hmm. So, running
if
on
you're
a treadmill,
running like in the opposite direction of the way the ship is moving, that's really weird too.
I mean, I think it's funner if you're on a cruise ship that is the outdoor deck. If they have one that allows running on it,
mm-hmm.
I've done that and I found that very strangely odd.
Yeah.
But that was kind of more fun than getting on the treadmill. So,
yeah. But I digress. Sorry. Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about another record. This is a 200 meter age group world record.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the age group is for 95 and older, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So this was a 95 year old man.
Charles Eugster, I believe is how you say his name, actually set a 200-meter age group world record this past Sunday at the British Masters Indoor Track and Field Championships. At the age of 95, like you mentioned, he ran it in a time of 55.48, which is actually 2.4 seconds faster than the previous record. And there's actually a video of mm-hmm. him running this record time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I recommend you watch it.
We watched it earlier today.
A couple minutes. It doesn't take very long. So.
Yeah, it takes a minute.
Yeah, I guess so, because you run it in a time of 55.48, and there's, you know, maybe a couple of seconds before, a couple of seconds after. So, yeah, it's about a minute.
Yeah, it's definitely very cool to watch and very inspiring to see somebody who's 95 years old. So out there rocking it and, you know, competing. There's no other kind of way you can say it. Nope. That's what he was doing. So
I want to be him when I grow up and still be running at that age. And setting records or not, just still running at that age. So
right.
That'd be pretty cool.
Let's move on to, I'll just mention a couple tech things. I'm kind of jumping around on the rundown here. Fitbit, which is a very popular app that people use to kind of track their fitness. And, you know, it's the bands on your wrist that are basically, in some ways, glorified pedometers.
Mm-hmm.
They actually acquired the app Fitstar, which is a popular app on iPad, which does pretty good training programs in terms of strength training. And I think they have some cardio and yoga stuff too. But just another example of some consolidation in terms of fitness apps. We've seen Under Armour kind of make some acquisitions, and there's been some consolidation. So just want to mention that. And kind of interesting that it's Fitbit that acquires Fitstar. So very good synergy in terms of the names of the company.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was like perfect.
And they also do Fit Yoga, which always, I think I recommended to you.
Yeah.
And you never got around to trying it.
Fitstar does Fit Yoga?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is basically the same type of thing. It's just all yoga, which I hear is very good. I've never tried it because I'm not really a yoga person.
Yeah.
But I've heard positive things about that. So
I really do need to try it.
Yeah.
I should.
The other tech news this week was probably the Apple iWatch, which was probably all over the news and websites, and I'm not going to go into it at this point. The only thing I'll just mention in terms of for runners is, you know, to use the Apple iWatch for running, the thing to take note of is it doesn't have a built-in GPS. So if you want to use it essentially as your GPS, you still have to carry your phone. Mm-hmm. So if you're somebody who normally just carries a Garmin and leaves the phone at home, this is not going to be a replacement for that.
Yeah.
You would have to bring the iWatch and your phone, which has to be an iPhone, a recent iPhone, with you. So that's the only thing I'm going to say about that. Until then, until people kind of have a chance to have it in the real world and test it out, there's not much more to say about it in terms of from a runner's point of view.
When will that be, when people have it?
In next month.
Okay.
In April, and prices start at $350. So
okay.
It's definitely not cheap. If you want the gold one, you can have the gold for, I think it's 10 grand or something. Ridiculous.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sign me up. I'll take a couple.
You want
two? Yeah. Because I need my backup, right?
That's right.
So, yeah.
Right. Because, you buy extra things that you enjoy. That's a good one. Did want to mention LA Marathon, which is coming up this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very hot in California. We mentioned it was going to be hot for us this coming weekend, but LA Marathon, they kind of have their heat advisory for the race. Mm-hmm. So they've made some changes. The biggest change is they moved the start time up by 30 minutes. So going off a little bit earlier in the morning to try to kind of avoid some of the heat. They are adding extra aid stations. So in total, there's going to be 24 aid stations.
That's awesome.
So 24 for a 26.2-mile race, basically.
Because then you could skip some and still have plenty.
Well, if it's a hot day, you might not be skipping any, but
I don't know. I mean, 24, that's a lot.
Well, it's kind of funny. The way they wrote it, it's basically aid station every mile starting at 2.
Okay.
Which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, we've definitely done races that have been on hot days and had way less than that. So it's nice.
Oh, yeah. Like probably half of that. Yeah. And that didn't go well. But anyways.
So I really like the idea of them just kind of moving the start time and to avoid the heat and adding the aid station. So obviously LA Marathon's a big time race with a lot of experience. And obviously they're going to make the right moves in terms of keeping it safe for everybody. So if you're going to be out there doing LA, be careful. Take it easy. It's not going to be a PR day from what we expect.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you stay hydrated, but don't go crazy.
Right.
It's just as dangerous to overhydrate.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways more dangerous. So, just be careful with that also. So, thread that line, I guess, as best you can.
Yeah. Speaking of, are we going to say more on that? Okay. I was going to say, speaking of another marathon, Chicago Marathon, lottery is actually open now. We had mentioned before that it was going to be open, and it is open. And it's actually the lottery entry period is open for 6 weeks, which is a long time, I think. 6 weeks is a long time. And it will close on Tuesday, April 21st. So you have plenty of time to throw your name in for the lottery if you haven't done so yet, because it's only been open, 2 days or a day and a half?
And, well, it's interesting. I'll start with, you know, we were actually just discussing right before we hit the record button, why is it 6 weeks long to enter the lottery?
It's a long time.
It seems very, very long. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason for it to be short, but there's no reason for it to be 6 weeks. So I'm just super curious in their heads what made them come to this decision to say, let's give people lots of time and make mm-hmm. it 6 weeks.
Well, 7 weeks was too long.
Apparently.
And 5 weeks was too short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm curious too, like how they came up with that duration and how, why not 3 weeks or 2 weeks or mm-hmm. 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But regardless, you have plenty of time to throw your name.
Right. Wait 4 weeks yeah. and then enter. We actually both entered the lottery mm-hmm. for Chicago. So as we had mentioned before, you don't have to actually put in your credit card information or anything right. like that. So it's not one of those lotteries that if you get selected, you're automatically into the race and mm-hmm. your credit card gets billed. So we can enter the lottery and then decide later if we're actually going to go do it. We kind of have some friends who are thinking of doing it and might do it. So if we all get in, then it's a possibility that we'll be heading to Chicago to run the marathon. If we don't all get in, or a couple of us, then we'll have to make those decisions
right
at that time that we get selected. So we did enter, but not sure whether we're actually going to go or not.
Yeah.
I think it'd be hard
to threw our names in there. Yeah. So
it'd be hard to turn down if I got selected, though.
It would be.
Because that is a pretty fun race.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on Chicago?
Nope, that was it.
We just want to mention again, CJ and Run.
Yeah, so we mentioned it last time. You know, have a as an ambassador for the races, I do have a discount code to share with all of you, and it is on our webpage there at embracerunning.com. And then we also have a race giveaway that's going on right now for a few more days. So if you haven't entered yet, last day to enter is this Sunday, March 15th, and all the details are on our webpage. There's also a link to that from our Facebook page with specific instructions on what to do to enter. They're pretty straightforward instructions, but I just recommend that everybody just read them, just mm-hmm. double check them when you do enter and make sure that you do what's on there. And then we'll be picking somebody after that closes. So
yeah. All right. Should we jump into some must-do 5Ks?
Yeah.
So this comes to us from Competitor. They had a pretty nice list of some 5Ks that I guess we should all do at some point in time. Kind of hard to travel for 5Ks.
Agreed.
I think that's the one thing I've always found difficult
yeah.
is making that decision.
Kind of justify.
If I'm going to travel out of town for a 5K, I don't want to go that far or spend that much because you're only going to be out there running 30 minutes or whatever your 5K
yeah.
time is, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes, whatever that is. So
I could see traveling and then looking for a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see myself doing that.
So number one on the list is a 5K that we've talked about before. Carlsbad 5000 kind of comes on our radar a lot because it is local to us, local being in California.
Right. Southern California.
Right. So a pretty popular one down in Southern California.
It's supposed to be pretty... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say it's known for being pretty fast.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, there we go. It's known for being pretty fast.
good one. It's a pretty fast course and actually draws... usually there's some pretty good elites that actually come mm-hmm. out for that one, so that's not bad.
That's one that I have on my radar to do. Probably the only 5K that I can think of right now that it's on my list mm-hmm. to do. But then again, it's hard to even in Southern California, it's kind of hard for me to justify a trip around that race specifically. So,
well, I think for us to go do that race, you know, it's about, let's call it a 6-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not crazy. It's just if you're going to make that 6-hour drive to Southern California to do a race, you might be doing... You're probably thinking about doing one of the marathons in Southern California first, whether
right,
it's OC,
right.
LA,
Carlsbad.
So there's definitely a lot of options, but maybe it would be interesting to kind of put that on the calendar and just do that at some point. Number two on the list, hot chocolate 5K Chicago.
Yeah.
So we've actually done
Chicago.
Yeah, we've done hot chocolate San Francisco.
15K though. 15K. We didn't do the 5K.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the most notable thing about Chicago's hot chocolate is it's very, very large in terms of the number of people that run the race.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking around 29,000 people, right?
Yeah, for the 5K alone.
Which is a crazy amount of people for a 5K.
I've never done a 5K anywhere close to that number of people.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we've talked about hot chocolate several times before. So the one cool thing you get is chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a fun race.
Yeah,
I mean, I would even venture out, even though they're specifically recommending the hot chocolate 5K in Chicago, I would just recommend doing
any of them.
Hot chocolate, whichever one you can get to, 5K or 15K.
Right.
Yeah.
Number three on the list, the BAA 5K. So we're talking about Boston here. Mm-hmm. So kind of good race to do, especially if you aren't quite Boston Marathon fast. It's another way to kind of get out to the running mecca that is Boston.
Yeah.
And kind of get to do a race there.
And it is good to do for people who are traveling maybe with loved ones or friends or family members that are going to be running the Boston Marathon because it's that same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, traditionally 2 days before the 5K, so you can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Number four, Rock and Roll Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
5K. Now, we've done the half.
Yeah.
So, 5K, it's another option. As essentially, you're getting a lot of the cool stuff that's on the half marathon course.
Right. It's a relatively new option, though. They didn't always have the 5K mm-hmm. for Las Vegas. Traditionally, it's been the half marathon, marathon. So, different distance, shorter distance. But also, yeah, you're right. You get to see a lot of, or you get to see the strip. Mm-hmm. I guess you don't venture out off of the strip, I would think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not going downtown. Haven't looked at the course.
Yeah.
But it has that nice advantage that if you're going to be in Vegas and you're going to be there for the weekend, you're not going to tire yourself out much doing the 5K mm-hmm. versus if you're tackling the half marathon or longer. So could be a way to kind of get your race in, have some fun, and still have plenty of energy to stay up all night.
Right.
Getting into whatever kind of mischievous trouble you want to get into in Vegas.
Or because the 5K in Vegas is the day before the half and full marathon, you could actually do the 5K and then.
So then just wear yourself out completely.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just pull an all nighter all weekend, like run and then go do what you do in Vegas and then run the next day again.
Now, I actually really like that idea.
Do you?
Yes. I actually really do like that idea.
I'd never make it. I'd probably sleep through the next race or something.
I could see that.
It just wouldn't happen.
All right. Number five on the list.
I'm going to venture out here and say Fryhofer's Run for Women. What do you think about that?
I'm going to go with you on
okay.
that.
Okay.
This is an all-female road race out in New York. That's actually been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is quoting 37 years.
Forever.
I know, 37 years.
Yeah, that's forever. Wow, okay. Apparently, I know a lot of people who have been around forever then.
Well, in terms of races, no, I mean, I know. How many races have actually been around longer than...
Than that.
I'll say longer than 31 years, only because LA's on 30, so let me at least take that one out of the possibility there. So not too many races that have been around that long.
I think it's a good size, or I guess relatively larger size for 5K, but not as large as what we've been mentioning. So about 5,000 women participate annually.
Mm. And in the past, this has actually served as the 5K championships several times.
Yeah.
Kind of throughout the year. So
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number six, Bowerman 5K. So we're talking about out in Oregon. And the one thing I didn't know about this race until I read this is actually an early evening race. So it's kind of a unique spin on it.
Interesting. That is.
And it's put on by the Bowerman Track Club. And so I think there's some tie-ins to Nike there in the Nike headquarters.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was an evening race at all.
Yeah, it actually seems kind of interesting once I read that.
Yeah.
And then moving on to number seven, last one on the list, CVS Health Downtown 5K. This one has actually... out in Rhode Island, and then this one most recently has been used as the USA 5K Championships. So definitely a race where you kind of have the big name elites there to kind of run the 5K. So that's kind of a very cool thing to see if you're going to be there.
Yeah, and it looks like you also get to run by some landmarks there in Rhode Island. So that'd be a good way to see a few miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's the list. I think for us, if we had to pick one to do, I guess it's going to be Carlsbad.
Yeah, probably
the local tie-in,
yeah,
although I wouldn't mind going out to Oregon.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't mind doing that, the Fryhofer's. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing that one either. So I guess there's three on my list.
All right. But before we wrap it up, want to wish good luck to Carol, who's actually going to be at the LA Marathon mm-hmm. this weekend. So just wanted to throw that in there. Be careful with the heat. Hopefully it doesn't slow you down too much.
Right. And be careful with the overhydration on the same note. So let us know how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump to feedback.
Message received.
So we heard from a couple of people, actually, about the Cowtown Marathon events, mm-hmm. which we had covered before with all of the events, except for the half marathon being canceled due to weather. So we heard from a couple people. I heard from Tara. She did say that everybody is actually given the chance to register virtually, not register, I don't know why I said that, virtually run whatever event they had registered for. That's what I was trying to say,
mm-hmm.
To get their medals and shirts by the end of this month, so by March 30th. So... if you had, I think she had registered for the marathon. That was her plan. She did run the half marathon while she was there. So she plans to run the marathon distance in a couple of weeks. And then, you know, I'm not sure of the details in terms of what you need to, you know, email them or how you need to do that. But I'm sure they have to have it all worked out so that you can get the medal and the race shirt for that specific distance. So, and that goes for all the distances that were canceled.
Yeah. It's very cool that they're allowing people that option to kind of basically get the race in that you were supposed to a certain degree. Get
done. Yeah, yeah. Obviously not in that same location necessarily, but and she did mention, because it was one thing we were wondering about, that they did have enough half marathon medals to give to everybody who did do the half marathon, because we weren't sure how that had worked out. So You also heard from Ivan in regards to the same event. He was actually supposed to run the ultra that was canceled. So he did run the half marathon. He said it was, you know, icy roads and, you know, low 30, which is pretty much what Tara had said as well. He did say that, you know, the locals there and even the race members, you know, really did a lot of work to try to get even just the half marathon course ready for race day. So hats off to them mm-hmm. for having, you know, something, an event.
Yeah, I mean, they made the right decisions in kind of what they did, and then they put in a huge effort to just make sure they could still do the half marathon in as safe a way as possible.
Yeah.
So I think the best way to put it.
Yep. Now, with him not being able to do the 50K, he actually was going to use the 50K as one of his, I believe, three qualifying races to be a marathon maniac. Mm-hmm. But since he didn't do the 50K, he's made a change in plans and he's adjusted like any of us would do. So he's actually going to go ahead and go for Half Fanatics this year and then maybe try for Marathon Maniacs next year with the three races that he was planning to qualify for this year. Yeah.
Yeah. And he also brought to our attention, and I think I'd seen it one other place, but there's a few kind of other races that actually invited people who didn't get to complete the Cowtown for those distances, like the full, invited them to other races. I know R&R was one of them. They gave away some free entries and then offer discounts for kind of mm-hmm. the displaced runners from yeah. Cowtown. So if you were supposed to do that race, kind of look around, there might be a cool discount or an option for you to go run another race right. there pretty soon.
Yeah. I think it's cool when they do something like that.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely smart too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like kind of, you know, it's a cool thing to do, but mm-hmm. It's also good marketing for your event too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep, because look at how many people are talking about it.
Anyway, so. We just mentioned it right here.
Exactly. So kind of changing topics here in regards to sleep or lack of or the importance of sleep in running and performance that we talked about last week. I almost said last year. Jeez. We heard from Dave, who did agree that sleep and training has been a huge issue with him. He's training for his first 50 miler, the PCT 50 in San Diego in May. And he's found that because of his high mileage weeks and other, you know, personal commitments, he's not able to sleep in on the weekends like maybe he normally would to maybe try to catch up on sleep. So, you know, he's having to get up early to get those long runs in without it affecting, you know, other commitments. So, you know, hopefully he's hoping that, you know, through his hard work and commitment, he'll be able to, you know, with all the training that he's doing, inspire his kids to know that they can do anything if they just commit and want it bad enough. And I think at that point, once he reaches his 50 miler and completes it, then maybe he'll, this is what I'm adding on, uh-huh. is that maybe he'll take some time and get some sleep. Not to say that he's not getting any sleep now, but I can see how something has to give. You know, if you're training for your 50 miler, you have other commitments, you know, something's going to give. Mm-hmm. So it's right. a matter of what, and knowing that this is a short-term thing. It's not like he's necessarily saying he's going to do this for life. Mm-hmm. You know, he's training for a 50 miler in May, then it's a relatively short period of time. So I guess. Yeah. Okay. So also heard from Dan, who was mentioning the sleep thing again. He said before he started running, he had sleep apnea and he'd nap for hours every day. He started running about 3 years ago, lost a lot of weight, mm-hmm. no sleep apnea, which is great. And now, you know, that he's running all the time. He said that his daughter, you know, said that they used to watch him nap all the time. Now they get to watch him run, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a very inspiring story, kind of the changes that he's made with his life. And yeah, I just thought it was very cool. And thanks for kind of sharing with us.
Yeah. 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 Heard from Ruth, who made it through her first half marathon in Scotland. She said she probably could have shaved a little bit of time off of her finish time, but she was having fun keeping up with her friends that she trained with. She said she ran through all four seasons in one day, from warm sunshine to sleet. So that has to be a pretty interesting experience. I can't say I've ever had all four seasons in a race.
No, that's,
maybe
that's,
two.
That's pretty unique.
Maybe two. She had a great time. She thinks she may have caught the race bug. She did make it a point to mention that she was not going to ever do a full marathon, but she's already signed up for another half in June. So I don't know. I mean, never say never.
Well, that's what she said. Yeah. Never said never. So
yeah, I mean, things could change. Maybe you don't have any interest in doing it right now. I don't know. Maybe you won't ever. But
and there's nothing wrong with never doing a marathon. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I've known enough people who say, "Oh, I'm never doing that," and then they want to do it. So mm-hmm. Heard from Sean, who was trying out the TomTom Runner GPS watch on his 10 miler.
Yeah,
he had just
new
gotten
choice.
It. Yeah, exactly. And he did like it. He also had a question for us in terms of training. So I'm going to do my best to explain this, but feel free to jump in if I'm getting a little confusing here. So he is running his first half marathon of the year on May 2nd. And then he is running another race on May 24th, and it's going to be either a half marathon or a full marathon. And he's trying to figure out if doing the full marathon would be realistic in terms of training and upping the mileage during that time frame. He's never run a full marathon before, and 13 miles has been his longest run to date. So he kind of wanted to get our opinion on whether we thought it was doable or should he just do the second race as a half marathon and not a full marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So did I do that okay?
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good synopsis.
Okay, so you want to go over what we thought?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, that's definitely a very aspirational goal, and it's definitely possible. The only thing we kind of warned is, you know, it's going to require quite a bit of a quick ramp up to the marathon. So you're definitely increasing your risk of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And we also don't know his kind of full history with running. So
it's kind of hard to... Yeah, we don't have all the details.
Every detail, but it's definitely doable, but you are kind of pushing things. So, you know, if it's important, you know, in situations like this, not just specifically to him, you know, if it's super important to you and you personally think it's doable, it's something that you can do. You know, I think he kind of had his plans laid out for his long runs, and we were just making sure he had his kind of his step back weeks thrown in there. So, yeah, if you're comfortable with the risk and you want to go for it, I say go for it. I think in the end, I think he's going to kind of do the first half and kind of see how things go the next couple of weeks. And he wasn't going to make a final decision on kind of whether to do that second race as a half or a full yet. So
Right. Yeah. I mean, I echo pretty much, you know, what you say. The only thing also is, you know, not like you said, not knowing the background necessarily, and then not knowing what his goal is for the marathon either. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I always say, and I think you agree, you know, for your first marathon, you shouldn't have a specific time goal just to finish. So hopefully he doesn't have a specific time goal, mm-hmm. you know, and so that way it's a little less pressure too.
Yeah, I always tell everybody for their first full marathon, just go out there, have fun, enjoy the experience. Don't worry about, you know, times. I mean, you kind of have to come into the race with a little bit of plan of, you know,
sure, which pace is going to be off the line. Sure, yeah, you can't just say like, oh, whatever it is, yeah.
But don't get super focused on the time. Just go out there kind of have fun. Take mental snapshots throughout the race because, yep. you know, you only get to run your first marathon once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take extra pictures before the race. Take definitely extra pictures yep. after the race, but don't soak focus it all on the time. In. And then it gives you the opportunity to come back for your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever marathon and kind of chase times and try to really maximize your ability in the future. You know, don't try to do that, you know, day one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. And then, going along with marathon training, I guess, mm-hmm. we heard from Martine, who is planning to run Maui Marathon in September, which sounds awesome. And is not coming from a humid place, so was asking us how far in advance we think, you know, should somebody arrive in Hawaii to acclimate to the weather. So I guess experts pretty much say 10 to 14 days is ideal.
Yeah,
or longer, I guess, you know, ahead of time. But
as long as possible. But 10 to 14 is kind of what the number is to truly be able to acclimate to heat and humidity, which is, you know, if you're going to Hawaii probably for a race, and I'm assuming you're going to take a little bit of a vacation, you're probably not going to be able to get there 10 to 14 days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you could, great. But, I mean, if you were planning on taking a 2-week long vacation, okay.
Sweet.
You know, I might still actually say, now that I mentioned that, maybe do like a week before the race and a week after if you're really thinking about doing a 2-week long vacation instead of being there 14 days before to acclimate.
I'm going to help you out. I think you should go for a month in advance and then you need a month post-race to recover. So
before
just,
coming back
so
home.
So just basically take the entire summer and hang out in Maui and that's kind of the official plan. But no, I mean, the realistic advice was, you know, basically, if you can get there at least a few days in advance, that's going to help you. If you have the time to at least get one or two runs in while you're there in Maui to at least kind of, you know, if she was, you know, they're coming from the West Coast, to at least kind of get yourself somewhat familiar with it because it can be kind of a bit of a, the heat and humidity can be a shock, you know, to a certain degree because I know from in California here, we don't have any humidity and heat.
Yeah, where we are, not really, yeah.
You know, it's not that big of a deal that, mm-hmm. you know, it's not an issue so much. So running in Hawaii is very different. So if you can get a few days in advance, so at least, you know, one or two kind of shakeout runs, you know, in advance, you're obviously going to be in a taper anyway. So it's just to kind of get over the initial shock and the difference.
See how your body reacts.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, although, we also did mention I always prefer if you're going to vacation in marathon to do the marathon at the beginning of your vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can kind of run your marathon and then the thought of kind of looking forward to looking ahead to that or worrying about that is kind of out of the way, and then you can enjoy your vacation.
Right.
That's not necessarily the scenario for the best performance on race day, but
yeah.
Might be the best way to enjoy your vacation if you're doing that.
Right. And I'm also thinking, well, you don't want to, or I wouldn't want to fly in like the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
And have my vacation at the, you know, just after the race, because then all that travel and everything. But so it's kind of hard to figure out when the best time is. Yeah. But yeah. But I guess in this case, if you can get there a few days before, get one or two runs in, that would probably be good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's our official recommendation. Okay. Is that the last one?
That is it.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, we'll be racing this coming weekend out on the trails. We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll kind of do a small recap of that probably on the next episode.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.